I would like to read the scriptures for this morning's sermon. I will read from John 4, verses 1 through 7. I told Randy I don't think I've ever heard a sermon preached just on these verses of this familiar story. And then I will read Ephesians 4, 2. Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard Jesus is making and baptizing more disciples than John, although it was not Jesus making, it was not Jesus himself, but his disciples who baptized, he left Judea and started back to Galilee, but he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by the journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." And then Ephesians 4, verse 2. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love.
Thank you, Janet, for reading the scripture for us this morning, and to each person involved in our service. It's great to see everybody. It's good to be together again. Well, in this sermon series, we're talking about keep doing that well, Whitmer Heights. Keep doing that well. The first week, 2 weeks ago, on Zoom, I noted how I appreciate this church's commitment to praying together, eating together, fellowshipping as part of your worship, practicing mutual care and transparency around the intersection of money and faith. Keep doing that well. Last week, I talked about places that I've seen this church step out into new things, tried some new things, all along trusting in the faithful love of God, who is inviting you to see that God himself is making all things new. Keep doing that well. And this week, I want to highlight how much I have appreciated in the past 6 years this church's ability to figure out together. Now, what do I mean by figuring out together? As many of you know, I'm taking this sermon title from our mission and vision statement, Figuring Out Together How to Follow Jesus and Make Our Community and the World a Better Place. Figuring out together is another way of saying doing church together, discerning together, talking together, as Sophia so well noted, listening together as well. Figuring out together pretty much is everything of the life of the church. How to follow Jesus together. It's really a statement of the celebration and the importance of community. That we don't do the Christian faith alone. We cannot imagine church without community. That's another way of saying your vision statement. It has to be together. And I think this church does that really well. And I was thinking about why. Well, part of it is that you have a lot of trust built within this community. Over many, many years. Some of you have been part of this church for over 40 years, I think, maybe longer. This is a church that knows how to have fun together. And it's easier to figure things out in hard times when you have that trust built within you, that fellowship. Even things like the Community Courier that Jan started, every month highlighting a new person and interesting things about them, their favorite foods, their favorite authors, places they love to travel. That helps to build a sense of community and trust that actually helps us to figure out together during the hard times as well. Figuring out together is things like even eating meals together at the fellowship times. Because the conversations that are happening there are about what's going on in life. How are you following Jesus in the midst of fill in the blank, whatever's going on? Whitmer Heights is a really beautifully diverse church. You're around 90 people, varied in age, interests, vocations, preferences in worship style, and even some theological diversity. And you come to this church and you say, okay, let's do this. Let's figure out together how to follow Jesus. Just even take worship, for example. We have some beautiful diversity. Some prefer hymns, and even within hymns, there's a whole variety of different kinds of hymns. Contemporary, and within contemporary music, there's a whole spectrum of contemporary music. And this congregation has said, let's figure this out. Let's try to honor everybody. I've really appreciated that, because that's not easy to do. I've appreciated the vulnerability, especially in music that invites children to help us lead. Because it says something important. Together truly is everyone, even our smallest children, because they help us to worship better our Lord and our God. Sunday school, grow team, figuring out together, appreciating the different classes. From children to seniors, we come together to study the Bible, ask questions, challenge each other, grow. And then I was thinking, too, about all of the different elder meetings and the first deaf council meetings with the deaf, where I have observed careful patience and attention to the cross-cultural skills needed to have a congregation of deaf and hearing. Truly figuring out together, not just Whitmer Heights, but how to be a congregation that works alongside First Deaf Church. I've left those meetings feeling like the words from Ephesians was being embodied. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Keep doing that well. I've seen it at junior youth events, going for a hike or playing games together, because even those times of play is figuring out together. There is growth happening there. Figuring out together does not just happen in the official church times. It happens in your homes. It happens in the parking lot as you're leaving. It happens around shared meals or going to the MCC and serving together. It happens cracking jokes at home and keeping things light. It's crying and supporting each other. The church is the body of Christ. So whenever the church is doing life together, you're figuring out together how to follow Jesus. Keep doing that well. Now here's the place that I am inviting all of us into continued growth. Because each of these Sundays I've been saying, keep doing that well, and then I've been giving you a place to continue growing, looking at myself first. And what I was thinking as this topic of figuring out together, and this church truly does amaze me in the way you do this, but the words that came to me was, as you keep figuring out together, keep leaning in. Probably a sermon I will never forget was from former Bishop Jason Cunningham when he was talking about not being afraid of conflict, but leaning into conflict. And of course, Jason always put these great motions with his sermon, so I can just still see it so vividly. Lean it, lean it, lean it. Like only Jason could do. What important words to go with figuring out. lean in together. Our gospel story today, that's been introduced to us so well in children's time, is a story of Jesus leaning in. Jesus is out on a walk with his disciples. I love walking. I love stories in the Bible of Jesus walking. And we read that in chapter 4. Why does Jesus start to go for a walk? Well, it's because that he had just learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Although, in fact, that wasn't even true. Jesus was not the one baptizing, it was his disciples. But anyways, you can just imagine Jesus saying, "You know what? I don't even want to get involved in this. I don't have the energy for it. I'm going to go for a walk." And he sets off towards Galilee. He left Judea and set off for Galilee. And we can just imagine Jesus and his disciples leaving the kind of that tension. And now maybe the disciples are thinking, "Oh, that's past us. Let's just have some peace." And then Jesus tells his disciples, "Oh, and by the way, we're not going to go out around this time. We're going straight through Samaria." And I just wonder what his disciples were thinking at that time. We read in verse 4, "Now he had to go through Samaria." Now let's just pause there, because that is so significant here in this story. Because as was pointed out already from Sophia, there was this great heated debate in Jesus' time. Do we walk directly through, or do we go out around? The reality is that for many Jews, many, many Jews, they went out around. They simply wanted to avoid the discomfort, the long history of division. Interestingly enough, somewhat based on ethnic and racial tensions. They would take the longer indirect route east of the River Jordan through Perea because of their hatred for Samaritans. Now, why? The Samaritans were descendants of the Israelites of the northern kingdom, and here's where the tension is. They had been intermarried with foreign settlers. And the fall of Samaria, the capital of the northern kingdom of Israel, in 722. As a result of this racial intermarriage, they were no longer considered to be truly Jewish. And they were hated. On top of all that, Samaritans had a rival temple. And they only used the first 5 books of the Old Testament, the Torah. Another reason that they were mistreated, mistrusted, and disliked. So just imagine with me as Jesus and the disciples set off on this walk. And here's Jesus saying, "We're going straight through, Peter, John, James, we're going straight through." And can you just maybe hear some of the disciples saying, "Oh man, can we please just avoid that area? I know it's going way out around, but it's just frankly much more comfortable for me." And Jesus, you know how word spreads. Everyone's going to hear about this. It might even be written down sometime in the book of John. And Jesus says, "No, I'm showing you something different. Follow me. I'm teaching you here on this walk how to lean in to conflict. We're going directly through." And we read that Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down at Jacob's well. It was about noon. Now, why was Jesus tired? Well, obviously, he might have been physically tired from the long walk. That's truly I'm sure part of it, but I have to wonder, is that all of the reasons he was tired? Is he emotionally and mentally tired because he just argued with his disciples about going directly through? I wonder if Jesus is tired here because he's been trying to explain to his disciples what his mission is and who he has come for. And just like me and us, we just don't get it. Because it's such an upside down vision. And maybe Jesus is just kind of tired from all of that. Of course, we don't know why Jesus is tired here for sure. But this is what I take away. Sometimes leaning in is tiring. Jesus was tired. Leaning in is hard. Going directly through to Samaria is hard. Now, did you catch, if you have your Bibles, look at verse 8 as well. It says, his disciples had gone into town to buy food. Now, this is kind of interesting, I think. I just wonder, had the conflict maybe kind of boiled a little bit and the disciples, because again, we have to remember, most of the Jews would not have gone straight through. And so I would just imagine that this was probably pretty hard for some of the disciples. And I wonder why they went to go buy some food. And I'm playing a little bit with the text here in my head, and I'm imagining a little bit. Obviously, this is not in the Bible. We don't know this, but let's just imagine Jesus maybe needed a little space. Guys, I'm just getting tired of arguing. Go buy some food. So, point being, it's okay to need some space sometimes when we're talking and when we're listening. And sometimes, just go buy some food and get some space. But let's come back to the story. Jesus leans in, and he meets this Samaritan woman and asks for a drink. What I love about this story, friends, is that I feel like it's such a beautiful picture of the larger story of salvation history. God himself has leaned in for us, for our salvation. God has leaned in. Now let me explain what I mean by that. In John's gospel, we meet Jesus, the Word made flesh. But what about the 41 generations from Abraham to Jesus? What about all of that, the entire Old Testament? 41 generations. 14 generations from Abraham to David. 14 from David to the carrying away into Babylon and exile. And 14 more generations from Babylon to Christ. 41 in total. 41 generations of God's people trying to figure it out. And they never can really get it. They keep missing God's ways. They want to have their own king, even though God wanted to be their king. They struggle with understanding God's vision for them. They fail to practice justice and mercy and kindness so many times. They make idols. They have terrible kings that use violence. And friends, all of this stuff, we have to confess, we have our versions of it too. But the point I'm trying to make is 41 generations. And I wonder if God said, I'm tired. I've sent prophets to you. I've sent judges to you. I've sent destruction and exile. And still you don't get it. I'm tired. And so God said, I am tired of you trying to get to me. I'm coming to you. And God leaned in big time. John 1:1. So the Word became flesh and came among us. And we beheld the fullness of his glory. God himself leaned in by coming to earth. In the fullness of his glory, Word become flesh, dwelling among us, for our salvation. And the Gospel of John sets out to show us this glimpse of who Jesus is. These things were written about Jesus, that you may know and believe and have life in his name, we read. This is the God of salvation history and the Jesus that has leaned in for us in the midst of our sin. This is the Jesus who breaks down these dividing walls. And so that makes a lot more sense to me then why Jesus himself wanted to lean in. Because his Father and the Holy Spirit, three in one, it is a Trinitarian God who has always leaned in from the beginning, for us, for the world. So, let's come back to today, right here, right now. I know for myself, I try to avoid Samaria sometimes. Our church tries to avoid Samaria sometimes. I think every church out there tries to avoid Samaria sometimes. And I want to invite you that just as we tried to avoid Samaria, we tried to avoid some area. You got that? By trying to avoid Samaria, we're trying to avoid some area that really God's inviting to us to walk directly through. For Jesus, it was that northern part of the kingdom. For the disciples, it was that being stretched. No, we're going there. For us, we have to ask, what are we trying to walk around that God wants us to walk through? Walking through is figuring it out together, leaning in. And here's the really interesting thing. By leaning in and figuring out, we're going to get there faster. It's actually the shortest route. Because we know for too long, some of the baggage in the Mennonite church is that we haven't learned how to talk directly and listen directly about hard things, and we end up going way out around and taking way too long. By avoiding Samaria, by avoiding some area. I want to say something I've really appreciated about this church in my second to last Sunday as your pastor. When we were going through the affiliation discussion of Lancaster Mennonite Conference and Mennonite Church USA, I know that was really, really hard for a lot of you. You personally shared that with me. And I hear you. It was hard for me too as your pastor. It's hard to have these really challenging discussions that are so polarizing. And we know our congregation is pretty diverse. But I want to affirm you for leaning into that. You took really an entire year to invite different people in and kind of hear their perspectives from their different angles. And you took a month over at Locust Grove School to sit around tables and truly listen to each other and speak and listen and speak and listen, figure it out. Was the process perfect? No. No process is perfect. Was the outcome perfect? Probably not, but it was something. The church hung together through it. And you figured it out and you leaned in. Now, I've heard some people say, now, weren't we supposed to review that again in 5 years, which would be 2021? And I've heard some people say, oh, I just don't want to do it again. And I hear you. Going through Samaria, going through some area is really hard. But if you just do it with who you are, your ability to speak and your ability to listen, with Jesus at the center, you will be okay. Your community will hold you. God will hold you as you lean in to these hard conversations. Approach the discussions with love, humility, and an ability to hear each other. To not be afraid to lean in. to keep staying at the table. You will be okay. God will walk with you through it. Why do we lean in, friends? We lean in because God in Jesus Christ has leaned in for us, breaking down walls, unifying us as the body of Christ. It is my prayer from Philippians 1:9 for all of you. Philippians 1:9 says this: "It is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and be so pure and blameless for the day of Christ." So Whitmer Heights, keep doing that well. Keep walking through Samaria. Keep walking through some area. I don't know what that area is, but you guys will continue to figure that out. And it might be lots of areas. Take the fastest route. Take the direct route. Keep Jesus at the center. And keep figuring it out together. Amen.